Thank you, Marilyn. Good morning to you again. I'm glad you are here for church, for worship today. I'll never forget the day. It was about 6 years ago. I'm at the office, and suddenly I get a call from my wife, a very panicked phone call, saying that she had just heard from our son's school, saying that our oldest, this Peyton, had passed out. You know, and she had said, the school said, he is awake now. We think he's okay, but please come get him. And my wife said, I'm on my way to get him. Meet me at the doctor. So, of course, I just threw everything down, got in the car, and started racing to the doctor's office. She met us there, and we got him in the doctor, and he was kind of getting his color back and kind of getting his senses back. And the doctor looked at him and did all the tests and all the things, and the doctor kind of said, we think he's okay. We think it was just a fluke, just a one-time thing. As we were wondering why this would happen, because we've never had him faint on us before. Now, it took a little bit of investigating. We had to talk with him, but we had to go talk to his teacher. See, at the time, when he was in, was it pre-K or kindergarten? Kindergarten. He was in kindergarten. His kindergarten teacher, he was going to a Christian school. Every morning, when she did the Bible lesson, she had the kids stand up. Well, that particular morning, his teacher was doing the Bible lesson out of Genesis 22, where God calls on Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, that's a tough Bible story for adults, much less a group of kindergartners. And as they're standing there listening to the Bible reading, at towards the end of the passage, just Peyton, I guess he just locked his knees and he went out. You know, just fell down out like a light. My son takes the Word of God seriously. I know, that's great, you know. And, of course, I can understand, you know, why, you know, he was hearing this as a child the first time. God says, take your son and sacrifice him. I'll never forget that night. I went to talk with him about it. And he looked up and he goes, Daddy, it really freaked me out. That's so cute. And I remember him asking, don't worry, I know he's getting embarrassed, but he gets a dollar every time I tell a story about him in church. So, son, you get a dollar later today. I'll never forget that he's asking me, you know, why? Why would God do this? And of course, my answer back to him was, well, it says that God was testing Abraham's faith. You know, I try to explain as good as I can to a child. I mean, that's, a tough passage. But I went back and looked after that experience, after really thinking about, you know, seeing how a child struggled with hearing that God would say, go sacrifice your son. I went back and said, you know, I think I need a better answer, because that's a pretty big test. And actually, after looking at it, I realized that it doesn't say in Scriptures that God decided to test Abraham's faith. It just said he decided to test him. And I actually kind of stopped and paused and said, well, what was he testing? Was it his faith? Was it something else? And why would God do this? Actually, over a little bit of time, I came across what I believe we can kind of find the answer why God would do something like this to say, go take your son, that son you waited on for so long, the son whom you love, and go sacrifice him. Even when God's plan was to hold his hand back from the plunging of the knife, God would still test in that way. Why would he do it? Well, I actually think we can find a bit of the answer if we go back a few chapters in the Bible. There's a passage that, in fact, a few years ago I was reading, and even though I had seen it many, many times, it didn't really strike me until just one day when I realized what God was doing in this brief interaction between himself and Abraham. And as we look at the passage this morning, we see what truly God's great reward is for those who love him. I want you to look in Genesis 15 with me this morning. Genesis chapter 15, starting at verse 1, going through verse 6. In God's Word it says this, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer from Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now, I'm guessing you've seen this passage before yourself. If you've been reading through the Old Testament, you see this brief interaction between Abraham, before he was Abraham, and God, and just you may say, well, that's a nice little just word between the two of them, but we don't really get the depth of what takes place here. I want you to notice that the interaction between God and Abraham, I want you to notice who initiates it. Like we see it was God, not Abraham. We don't see that Abraham's sitting there pleading to God, God, I need an answer. God, I'm struggling. God, when are you going to give me a child? No, we just see God suddenly appear in a vision and say, Abraham, I have some things to tell you. Now, I think that's actually important. This is just my opinion here this morning. There's nothing necessarily in the Bible to say for sure is true, but I got the feeling that Abraham hadn't really been talking to God in a while. Now, I'll show you why I think that in just a moment, but we see that when God speaks, notice what his first words are. Do not be afraid. Now, if those are God's first words to Abraham, what can we pretty reasonably conclude Abraham was dealing with? Fear. Fear over what? Well, his own words tell us what he was afraid of. That he was not going to see the fulfillment of God's promise. When I came here in View Call Weekend, I preached to you out of Genesis 12 when God's call on Abram's life and says, I will, you know, go to a place I will show you and I will make you into a great nation. And so Abraham knows if God is going to turn him into a great nation, have a family, he's got to have children. And some time has passed and he's struggling with this fear. Well, will it ever come true? Will I ever receive the promise that God said I would receive? There is fear in his heart. Maybe God has forgotten about me. Maybe I've done something wrong and now God has changed his mind. He had fear in his heart. Do not be afraid, Abram. Now, notice what he says next. He says, God says some just powerful words. He says, I am your shield, your very great reward. I am your shield. I am your protector. I am your great reward, Abram. He's saying, don't be afraid. I know you're struggling with will you ever have a child? Will you ever see the family line come forth? Will you ever have this? And don't be afraid because I am the protection against that fear. And I am your reward. Those are powerful words. Actually, we're going to come back to them a little bit. But we hear this great just blessing message of God. But did you really notice what Abraham said in reply to God? You know, we think of Abraham as this giant of the faith. This is a man who just walked so rightly with God. We sometimes forget he got a lot of it wrong, too. So God shows up. He's just there to bless Abraham. Says, don't forget, I am your shield. I am your reward. And did you notice his words back to him? But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? Did you hear that? What can you give me since I don't have the thing that I truly want? Here's what he's saying, friends. I want you to understand the depth of his words. He's saying, what good are you to me if you haven't given me the thing that I want most? What good are you to me if I don't have the desires of my heart? What can you give me? He goes even further. He says, you God, he's blaming God. You, God, have given me no son. And this guy way over here is going to be the one who inherits my estate. So he goes and tells God, what good are you to me? Why do I need you in my life? And it's your fault I don't have what I have in my life. Did you know Abraham spoke those words to God? If I'd been next to Abraham that day, I'd been like taking one wide step away. God, that was him. That was not me. There's lightning about to come down, I'm thinking. Because, I mean, did you hear that Abraham had been just brought out from nothing? And God says, you are going to be the father of this great nation, and I'm going to bless all nations through you. And here Abraham, just a short time later, says, why do I need you? What good are you? What can you, God, give me if you haven't given me this? Those are some harsh words, friends. But let's be honest. Let's just tell it like it is. Who of us here hasn't had that same feeling in our hearts at some time or another? God, if I just had this, it would make me happy. God, if you would just solve this problem over in my life, then I would be satisfied. But you haven't done it yet. Now, we may not speak those exact words to God, but we have all struggled in times of saying, God, if you would just solve this, if you would fix this, if you would give me this. And when it's not happening, and when we don't see the fulfillment of what we want in this life, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we stop talking to God. That's why I say, I wonder if it had been a while since Abraham had been really turning to God. I don't know that for sure, but you could see what was welling up in his heart. God, why should I be with you when you haven't given me what I want? You haven't given me what you promised to me. It's at this time we really have to go back and listen to God's words again. What did he say? Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am the great I am. I am your shield. I, God Almighty, I am your great reward, not the sun. He's trying to tell him, says, that son that I promised you, that child, that family line that I said would come from you, that is not your reward. I am your reward. A relationship with me, God Almighty, that is your reward. That is your protection from disappointment in this life. I am the source of happiness. I am the source of satisfaction. Not that thing, even that child that you desire so much, even that will not ultimately satisfy. That's what God was telling Abraham. I am. It's me that will make you happy. Not that thing. Not even that child. And so when God takes Abraham outside, says, count the stars. Look up there. If you can even count them, that's what your offspring will be. That numerous. And he's showing it to Abraham. And it says Abraham's believed. That's also why we see, I think, why God chose Abraham. Because Abraham still believed him in the midst of his anger. But he believed God. We realize what God was pointing out to him. Says, this son that you don't have yet, this huge family that's not yet, here yet, that's not the reward. You know what that is? My grace to you. This passage is grace on display, friends. I mean, really, God being God and Abraham just being man. And Abraham saying these things to God, did God not have every right to say, well, fine then, if you don't need me, if you're blaming me for your problems, then I won't give you that son. Now, God could have done that, but that's not who God is. And God doesn't fail on his promises. And so he says, I'm still going to give you the son. I'm still going to bring your family to bear. I'm going to do these things, but that's not your reward. That's not your shield or your protection or the thing that's going to make you happy in this life. It's me, God. A relationship with me is another reminder that that's why God created us, so that he can have a relationship with us. It's not the things in this life that will make us happy. It is God himself. I, God, am your shield. I, the creator of all things, I am your great reward. Not that thing you hope to get one day. Not when you have that problem solved in your life. None of those things, but I, God, am what will satisfy. So if we flipped forward a few chapters in the Bible, and we see God calling on Abraham. Abraham, yes, God, take your son Isaac, whom you love, and go sacrifice him on the mountain I will show you. I'm not so sure it was a test of faith. I think Abraham had kind of shown where his faith was. Yeah, I mean, the faith was involved in this. But you know what I really think it was a test of? It was a test of his priorities. Is his relationship with God more important than even his precious child? I think in that day, Abraham's passed the test. He said, God, you can do anything. You are my shield. God, you are my reward, and I will do what you say because, God, you have lived up to your word, and you will provide, and you will take care of, and whatever happens in this, you will come out still as God Almighty, so I'll trust you. I think that was a day to say, just a reminder as his son was growing up, to say, don't you remember? I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. Me, relationship with me. And friends, hasn't God been trying to prove that on and on through the years? See, this drama plays out still today. There are plenty of people saying to God today, God, why do I need you? What can you give me since I don't have this thing over here that I want? Since my life's a mess. Since I'm trying to do these things the way I want. Why do I need you, God? I'll serve you, I'll worship you if you would just do these things for me. If you would just give me this. If you would just solve my life's problems, if you would just take away the trials. And God is still whispering in the hearts of men and women across the world, says, but you don't get it. Solving those problems or giving you those things, that's not your reward. I am your reward. And it's a reward you have not earned nor do you deserve, but that's my grace. And I've been trying to show you, because when I didn't call on Abraham to completely sacrifice his son Isaac, I, God, did give my son. I sacrificed my son for you so you can have a relationship with me, because I'm the only thing. I'm the only one. I'm the only place, the only source that will satisfy and give you pleasure in this life. God has been trying to tell us. He has been trying to show us. He has been trying to call on us time and time again to say, I am your reward. I am your shield. The great I am wants a relationship with you. Guess what? He wants it with you even when you say to him, what good are you to me? What can you give me since I don't have this? It's your fault that I don't. Even in our anger, God says, I want a relationship with you. Even in our doubts, God wants a relationship with us. Even when we are silent before God because we've been angry over the thing we don't have yet, God still wants a relationship with us. Why? Because he loves us. He loves you. And he's been showing it to you time and time again through his grace and through his mercy. So you came in here today, and you might have been thinking, if only this problem was solved in my life, I'd be happy. If I just had the bigger house, the better job, the more money, the happier relationships, the more this, the more that. God, if I could just have this, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Even if he gave it to you right now, even if he gave you everything you just wanted right now, those things will not satisfy. But he will. And what he wants to give you is an ever-deepening and abiding relationship with him through the Son, Jesus Christ. Because God does satisfy fully, completely, and gives us happiness so that we're not so worried about when we'll receive this and when that will be solved, because he is our shield. And even though we didn't deserve it, God, the creator of all things, says, I am your reward. Let's have a relationship together. God is calling on you today, just like he called on Abraham. Say, my child, listen, I'm here to talk to you. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to say, God, you're right. Today is not about that stuff. It's about you. Let's have that relationship together. Today is that moment. Today is that moment. Right now is that opportunity to say, I will worship. I will have a relationship with the one true God. Because he will satisfy in all things. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this reminder how you, God, are our great shield and great reward. Not that we deserve it. Not that we have earned it. God, but you give it in your grace. God, I thank you that you stand on your promises even when we doubt them. God, you fulfill your word even when we live unfaithfully. God, I thank you that you show us time and yet time again how much you love us, how much you're willing to just help us, to guide us, to show us the way, how much you desire a relationship, a real, true relationship with us, your children. God, help us today in this moment of response, in this time of invitation, to set aside those things that we think would make us happy. God, to not come to you today pleading on you to solve this one problem in our lives and then we'll worship you. Now, God, teach us in this moment to worship you in spite of whatever is going on, to trust you no matter what is before us, God. Teach us in this moment, Father, to press in our relationship with you that you provided by giving us your Son Jesus. God, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. And we say this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing a hymn of invitation this morning. And as we do so, now is your time. If you want to respond, if you want to come forth for prayer to share a decision, let's do so. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond.